'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul makes this incredible statement, this incredible promise to every child of God. He says, all things are yours. Whatever comes under the umbrella of all things belongs to the believer. Now, I'm not using hyperbole when I say that the riches of Jeff Bezos belong to me. You say, you mean you have access to his accounts? Of course I don't mean that. But it is part of the all things that work together for my good and for God's glory. That's the promise of the scriptures. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things in the world, all things, every event that takes place, everything everybody has or doesn't have, all things, all the things of God's providence, every single event. There is no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as good luck. There's no such thing as bad luck. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, Paul says to every believer, all things are yours. If they belong to your Father, they belong to you. Now, it's very important for us to understand who is included in the pronoun yours when he says all things. And that means everything. All things are yours. Who is meant by yours? Does he mean all men without exception? If you had wealthy parents or a wealthy parent and your wealthy parent died and left everything to you and said it's all yours, what if someone you didn't even know said, well, I'm included in yours, it's mine too? No, it's not. It is only meant for those it was intended to be meant for. All things are yours. This is talking about every believer. This is not talking about every son of Adam. This is not talking about all men without exception, but this is talking about every believer without exception. All things are yours. Now, who are these people that Paul says all things are yours? You have vast wealth. And I'm just not talking about material things. This is not material at all. Religion makes a big issue of God blessing you with material riches and health and so on. That's just foolishness. There's no truth to it. God's blessings are spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I'm thankful for any material provision the Lord sends my way, but you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself didn't have a place to lay his head. He had no material wealth or material riches, and to put an emphasis on something like that is just foolish and fleshly. But it's still true with regard to every believer. All things are yours. Now, in the context of this passage of Scripture, he says to the Corinthians, know ye not that you are the temple of God? You are the dwelling place of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Spirit of God, fully God. He created the universe. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And every believer is promised, you're an heir of God and you're a joint heir with Christ. Whatever Christ has coming to him, which is everything, is coming to you. Think of the impact of that statement. Joint heirs with Christ. Is it any wonder Paul said to these people, all things are yours. All things belong to Christ. And if you belong to him, all things are yours. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Now let's go on reading in verse 17. He's speaking of these people that this incredible promise has been made to. He says, if any defile the temple of God, that dwelling place of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And in my King James Version, and this is one of the reasons I love the King James Version, the word temple is in italics, and that means it wasn't in the original. The translators put it there because they thought it could help make it understandable, but generally, it's better to read it without that italicized word. Paul says to the Corinthians, the temple of God is holy, which you are. He says to every believer, you are holy. Now think about that. This is said of every believer without exception. You are holy. Now what does that mean? What does holy mean? Holy means other, separate. When we speak of God's holiness, we think of him as utter purity. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. His perfection. Holiness is immutable. It can't become unholy. It can't become more holy. Every believer is holy. They were chosen to be holy in eternal election, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's when this took place, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Every believer was made holy by the death of Christ on Calvary's tree. Listen to this scripture. By the which will we are sanctified. That word means made holy. And it's in the perfect tense, completely holy. You can't be any more holy. You can't be any less holy. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now that's true of every believer. A holiness that comes from God, that God accepts. And we're made holy in the new birth by the Holy Spirit when we're regenerated, when we're born again, when we're birthed into the kingdom of God and given a holy nature. Now, when we were born into this world, we were born dead in sins, without holiness, sinful. Do you remember when God said, in the day you eat thereof, to Adam and Eve, in the day you eat thereof, not the next day, but the very day, the very present time you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, Adam didn't die physically. His soul didn't die, but his spirit died. And that's what spiritual death is. Every man, woman that's born into this world is born spiritually dead, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now remember, we're trying to see who it is that Paul says, all things are yours. Well, those that God elected, those that Christ died for, and those that are given the new birth, that are born from above, that are given this holy nature, are the people of whom Paul says, all things are yours. I've got a question for you. Can God sin? Is it possible for God to sin? Is it possible for God to commit an evil act, to have an evil thought? No. God is holy. He's of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. The scripture says he can't lie. God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie because he's God. You see, if you have a holy nature, that holy nature can't sin. Somebody says, well, what about Adam? Didn't he have a holy nature when he sinned and fell? No, he didn't have a holy nature. He had an innocent nature, not a holy nature, an innocent nature. He didn't have the holiness of God, because if he had the holiness of God, he'd never have fallen in the first place. But this was all a part of God's purpose to manifest his own glory. But God is holy. He cannot sin. Now, when we're talking about being born again, quickened, given spiritual life, birthed into the kingdom of heaven, can God give birth to anything that can sin? No. If it comes from him, if it's his holy nature, the scripture says we're partakers of the divine nature. Someone says, are you saying you're a little God? No, but I'm saying I'm born of God. And if I'm born of God, I have a holy nature that cannot sin. Let me back that up in the scriptures from 1 John chapter 3. Whenever you make a big statement, you better have a big scripture to back it up. Listen to this scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Somebody says, but I sin. Well, if you're a believer, you still have your old nature. It's just as bad as it ever was. You have the same appetite for sin you ever had. It's wicked. It's dead. It's still there. Whosoever is born of God, though, doth not commit sin, for his seed, the seed of God, that which is given in the new birth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. His seed, the seed of God, birthed in him, remains in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he is born of God. Every believer has two natures. The nature he was born with and the nature that was given to him when he was born again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, John says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that's begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, understand this with regard to this man to whom this promise is made, all things are yours. He's a man that God's elected to be holy. He's a man Christ made holy on Calvary's tree. And he's a man that was birthed by God and created by God and given a holy nature. Understand this. Salvation is not having a changed life. You know, people talk about a changed life, and I hope if my life is controlled by some sin, I hope it does change. And if your life is controlled by some kind of addiction or something like that, I hope you're delivered from it, and I hope you do change. But that's not what the new birth is. It's not a changed life. It's a new life. It's something that was not there before. A new heart will I give you. It's what Paul calls the new man. Now, this is the man that this promise is made to. He's been elected by God. Christ died for him. And God the Holy Spirit has given him this new holy nature. Remember, Paul said, you are holy. You are holy. That's true of every believer. Now, let's go on reading. Let no man, after he makes this statement, God is holy, which you are, he then says, let no man deceive himself. Self-deception is the worst deception. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. If any of you seem to be or appear to be wise in this world, you appear to have the tools and the abilities to succeed in this world, do not be deceived into thinking that that ability has any value at all in the kingdom of God. The Lord said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Let that man that thinks he was wise, wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be truly wise. Then Paul makes this statement in verse 19. For the wisdom of this world, a lot of things the world counts as valuable and important. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it's written, he appeals to the scriptures, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're vain. Therefore, here's what Paul concludes from this. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Now this chapter began with Paul rebuking the church at Corinth for this. One said, I'm of Paul. I'm one of Paul's disciples. Somebody else said, not me, I'm Apollo's disciple. Somebody said, I'm Peter's disciple. And then the real pious one said, I don't follow any man. I don't follow any of those guys. I just follow Christ. I'm Christ's disciple. And Paul says, do not glory in men. I don't care if it's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a man. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Do not glory in men. Do not have confidence in men. Now, let me tell you something about a holy man of God. And that describes every man and woman that is a believer. They do not glory in men. They glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word glory, it means have confidence in, boast in, rejoice in, rest in, trust. That's what the word means. Every holy man of God, every holy woman of God glories nowhere but in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, God forbid, may it never be so. God forbid that I should glory, that I should have confidence in, that I should rejoice in and trust anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the holy man's boast. He doesn't rejoice. He doesn't have confidence in men. He has confidence in Christ alone. Now, let's go on reading. Whether, verse 22, no, verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for, and here's the promise, all things are yours. All things are yours. When the writer to the Hebrews said, let your conversation be without covetousness, coveting things, things that you don't have. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Well, what do you have if you're a believer? All things. There's nothing to covet. You have all that God requires. All God will ever require of you, you have in Jesus Christ. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30 at the beginning of this epistle. He says, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, He is my wisdom. God has fellowship with a wise man because Jesus Christ is my wisdom before God. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness. I'm the very righteousness of God because the righteousness of Christ is mine. God can embrace me. He's made unto us sanctification. He is my holiness. He's made unto us redemption, full deliverance, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's the man to whom this promise is made, all things are yours. And he says in verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, these preachers, they're yours. God appointed them to preach the gospel to you. They're blessings of God to you. Don't glory in them. Don't put them up on a pedestal that they shouldn't be put up on. They're yours. Now, there's a very real sense in which the preacher is just the servant of Christ. I'm not the servant of men. I'm the servant of Christ. I'm to preach his gospel. But Paul said, we're your servants for Jesus' sake. When preachers kind of come across with this clergy, laity thing, there's God's clergy and the lay people down here, that's so offensive. You can't find anything like that in the scripture. All things are yours. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, this world, this planet. I don't care if I'm talking about Central Kentucky, California, Russia, China, all things are yours. You see, this is my Father's world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to him. It all belongs to Christ. And if it all belongs to my Father, if it all belongs to my Savior, it belongs to me. The world is yours. Everything in this world belongs to the child of God. It's all a part of all things working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this, whatever it is you're having a hard time giving thanks for, whatever it is making you sad and troubling you, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's for your good, his glory. There's no point in worrying or fretting about anything. The world is yours. And next he says, life is yours. That's the life of Jesus Christ, for one thing. He said, I am the life. The life of Jesus Christ is my personal history. When I stand before God and my name is called on Judgment Day, it will be the life of Christ that I'm judged by, because his life is my life. Just as my sin became his sin and he put it away, his life becomes mine. And everything in this life, doesn't matter what it is working together for my good. It's mine. And then the next thing he mentions is death. Death is yours. All the benefits of the death of Christ. My dear friend, right before he died, he said, it is finished. Now that's the benefits of his death. He completed salvation by what he did. All the benefits of his death are yours. What more could you want? If you're a believer, the day of your death will be the best day of your life. You know, what that which people dread so much, death, it's the wedding day for the believer. It's being perfectly conformed to his image. When I close my eyes in death, I will open my eyes in glory, beholding the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly conformed to his image, spending eternity worshiping him and beholding his face. Oh, what glory that will be. Death is mine. And then he says, things present. Things present. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Behold, now are we the sons of God in the present, being now justified by his blood. Now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Now is the day of salvation. Now, Christ is in heaven. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Now. The best time is now. Now, I realize that the time is coming when there will be no more time. We'll be in eternity. There won't be any past. There won't be any present. I mean, there won't be any future. All there'll be is the here and now. And that will be eternally looking to Christ. But while we're here, right now, everything in the present, it's mine. I love what John said, as he is in the world, so are we. As he is, holy, perfect, beautiful to God, as he is, so are we in this world right now. And the last thing he mentions is, or things to come. Everything that hadn't happened yet is mine. He's going to use by God for my good and his glory. Heaven hadn't happened yet for me. It is to come, though, and it is mine. This is God's promise to every believer. All things are yours. Now, let me close this message by reading a passage from John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him, and saith unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. The Lord had already told them plainly. And look what he says. Jesus answered them, I told you. And you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. There's no excuse for your unbelief. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe. He said you believe not because you're not of my sheep. His sheep are the ones he died for. His sheep are the elect. And let's go on reading. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There is the security of these to whom Paul says, all things are yours. All things in eternity, all things that God requires, all things that you need. All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. May God bless this word to you according to his will. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.